Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 67, for November 20th, 2007, Kindling the Flame. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. Time for MacBreak Weekly, the show that talks all about Macs. And of course, today it's going to sound exactly like the Apple Phone Show because we've got Apple Phone Show all over it. You got Apple Phone Show in my MacBreak Weekly.
You got MacBreak Weekly in my Apple Phone Show.
That's Scott Bourne laughing at my mirthless jokes. Hello, Scott.
Hey, how's it going? Well, you know, we at the Apple Phone Show, Leo, we're the kind of sherry people who like to contribute to the podcasting community whenever we can.
Sherry people. Liana Lahua with the gratuitous laugh. Hello, Liana. Thank you for joining us again.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
From girlsgonegeek.tv. Oh, I see. Chris Breen is also here. Hello, Chris Breen from the desert.
Hello, Leo Laporte from here in the desert.
He's in the desert.
Brother, it's gorgeous here.
And guess who just popped in?
Can you hear me?
Alex Lindsay.
Can you hear me?
Alex, can you hear me, Lindsay? Hey, Alex.
Hello.
We got a big round table today to talk about absolutely nothing. All I got is a red email that says, look and see the specials at the Apple Store on Friday. But no deal about
what they are. That's the big news. That's the big news for the week.
That is it right there. Ready, set, shop. Don't miss our special one-day shopping event. But they don't tell you what's going to happen.
Do I have to go there or can I do this online?
Oh, that's interesting.
Online.
Because I never want to leave my house the day after Thanksgiving, ever.
So it's only online?
No, it's both.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm fine with that then.
It says, the Ready, Set, Shop invite says, come back to the Apple online store the day after Thanksgiving for a special one-day-only holiday event. Now, in the past, they've actually had some pretty good discounts. $100 off MacBooks and iMacs. You were going to get an iMac for Mom, right?
I got one for Mom.
Oh. Should have waited a Black Friday.
I know I should have, but it is nice to show up to your parents' house for Thanksgiving with a Macintosh in hand. Oh, it's better than a bad bottle of wine.
Or a turkey. That's nice. Did you get the 20?
Yeah, I got the 20-inch. I got the medium one, the $1,500 one. Nice. And honestly, it was a selfish gift because I'm tired of getting calls from her saying, how do you do this? And her old Mac wouldn't run Leopard. So, okay, fine. I'm going to get run Leopard on this thing. And then I'm just going to be able to go in through iChat and say, step away. I'll let you know when you can come back and touch your computer again.
Has anybody used Back to My Mac yet successfully?
I haven't installed Leopard yet.
It's very quiet.
I'm a little bit afraid still.
No Leopard for Liana.
No Leopard for Liana. I'm a little bit afraid still. I'm going to wait probably for another couple of weeks. I do have a friend who had been using it in the Starbucks, and it's been interesting because he said he's had more issues with it when he's at Starbucks. I don't know what that would have to do with it, but.
Well, the Wi-Fi is not right. I haven't been able to get it to work at all. How about you, Chris Breen?
Yeah, we ran it in the labs at Macworld, and our results were not terribly good. We were looking forward to it working, and honestly, we just couldn't get the thing to work properly. We had the briefing with Apple, and we said, so this Back to the Mac thing, how's that working out for you? Oh, no issues here.
Supposedly, the new update that just came out fixes problems.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't left my computers on at home, so I can try it. But I have taken Leopard out on my laptop, which is sort of the big test. You know, it's like I'm out here on the road. I'm just surviving on Leopard alone, and it's been interesting.
We knew there were going to be issues, Leo, when the first evidence of Back to My Mac not working was somebody accessed Bill Gates' computer by mistake.
You've got Windows. I can't see my Mac. I've done the internal sharing. Works great. And it's fast and great. Once you know inside a LAN, And that I've been loving. I've been sharing files back and forth, and it's really nice. But I have yet to see, and I have all my, back to my Mac is turned on all my Macs. They're all logged into .Mac fine, but I don't see them. They're not showing up. I think you have to, when I asked Apple about it, they said, well, you have to have, you know, either an Apple Airport Extreme, which I do, the latest, or you have to do, you know, open ports or have unplug and play working, or PMPNet, something called PMPNet that I'd never heard of. So it has to open up ports, but before it's visible. But I still
When I had the briefing, they said, yeah, if you use Airport Extreme, all those ports are open. You don't. It's transparent.
Right.
And they said, and modern routers should do the same thing. But I'm not sure where that line is, where they say, no, this is no longer modern. And that's
We actually recommend people turn off Universal Plug and Play because it's actually very dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
It allows a program to, without warning or any request permission, it allows it to modify your router settings to open it up. And that's great because it makes things like, you know, back to my Mac work fine, but it's not very safe if it's a rogue program. That's not safe.
And that's even on the Airport Extreme.
The Airport Extreme, I haven't disabled it or enabled it. It's a stock Airport Extreme, and I still don't see any of my Macs, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to touch the Airport Extreme. They say by default it just works.
Oh well. So much for that.
We'll find out.
Oh well.
Shows off to a rip-roaring start.
Well, that's
there,
the thing that Andy Inoko was most excited about. By the way, Andy not with us. His mom, he's with his mom in the hospital, who's I'm sure is going to be fine, but just wanted to let you know he can't be here today. But that was the thing he was most excited about. So it's a little disappointing if it doesn't work.
Oh, it was high on my list too. We were talking about, you know, features we're looking forward to, and that was huge for me. Great, I can access my Mac from the room. I mean, we all could do this anyway, you know, if you're geeky enough. But it's nice that normal people now, if they've left a document at home and they've left their Mac on, they can just go and get it. I
talked about this before, but I mean, it was I was in India with Apple Remote Desktop, the previous, you know, the more geeky version of this, and able to go into my office computer and find another computer on the network, and then FTP stuff, you know, back to myself because I forgot some files I had to use for presentation, and I just completely was sold on this process, and it's exciting if it gets to a point where you can actually just quickly turn it on and off.
Well, it doesn't seem to work. So much for that. However, what more importantly, does Windows have a voice good enough to make its own rap song? That's my question. This is, have you heard this? Alex Leppard just can't get enough. This is the Alex voice in Leppard, named after our own Alex Lindsay. Listen carefully. Are you a Depeche Mode fan, Liana?
You're the only
Yeah, you're the only one young enough to actually appreciate this.
When I meet you, baby, I go out of my head. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. All the things you do to me and everything you said. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. We slip and slide as we fall in love.
That's pretty good, actually. He's got a good voice, that Alex.
Better than Depeche Mode's version.
it's more emotional, more deeply emotional. more deeply felt. That is wild. That's from Apple Gazette. Michael did that, I guess. I don't know. It's not credited, but I presume the post author is the guy who did it. Maybe not. I don't know. Isn't that cool? No, I'm sorry. It's from here. It is. It's from Dazzaruni. Dazzaruni.
You know what's the story behind this?
It's Alex, the voice Alex. From Leopard.
Got it.
There's actually quite a few Alex voices on YouTube. You want to hear another one?
Don't player hate on me. Player hate somebody else. Yo. Yo, yo, I'm a gangster. Where my dogs at? Bark with me if you're my dog. Yo, yo, yo. My kids,
their favorite thing to do is come home and make Alex say dirty words. Nipple. And they'll laugh. Yeah, he's only 13. That's what a 13-year-old boy does. I am Alex, and I have cute puns. At least they're getting something out of this $3,000 computer. So have you been following the IMEI tracking brouhaha?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay.
Someone else.
Who's following it?
Well, Apple Phone Show, of course. We followed it. Chris and I just recorded a segment about it. It's a non-story. It's like all these things, you know, somebody writes something about the iPhone, 200 million blogs immediately repeat it without checking it.
It's not true?
It's not true.
Wait a minute. Okay,
Chris
Chris
can explain this better.
First of all, credit to Dan, what's his last name? Fanato from Uneasy Silence. Great site, by the way. He used a little hex editor and found that the URL that's sent when you check weather and stock prices in your iPhone includes your IMEI number, your unique identifier, to your phone. The unofficial Apple weblog has done the same. They've confirmed that that is in there. So what's the story, Morning Glory?
Chris, you want to take this?
Oh, Chris just... I mean, we lost Chris. We're getting him back now. Are you there, Chris?
I'm back now. Yeah, right. You see. So I mentioned it's at my parents' house. And,
as soon as we mentioned this Apple iPhone hacking, you dropped right off.
No. What they see is in these retirement communities, the internet service works in such a way that if you haven't done anything for like 10 or 15 minutes, it just drops you, figuring you've fallen asleep.
Right. Sure. So Gizmodo says that no actual IMEI data is being sent. The unofficial Apple weblog confirms that IMEI is in the URL. What's the story, Chris?
Well, the story seems to be that no, that isn't in there. That a couple of security firms looked at that and said, no, it's identification information for the applications themselves. But if unofficial Apple weblog in like the last few minutes has said that that's not the case, then I think we have a discrepancy in reporting here.
Well, no. But they actually, in an update, say that Heise Online has tested. It actually came from Xian Li, who is a Hackintosh person.
Yeah.
And according to Heise, the code says IMEI, but apparently the actual IMEI is not being transmitted. They used a sniffer, which is a little more sophisticated than looking at the hex.
Right.
So they get the strings that are actually sent when you check your stock. So apparently it's not the case. Oh, shoot. I liked that story. I thought that was full of vim.
Well, it has vim and zest. But Scott and I were talking about this earlier. There's so much great stuff that people could sniff on your phone if they wanted to. And why would they want to look in the weather widget? Because what? They want to find weather where you are and your stocks. You know, I'm tracking six stocks.
Yeah, you're right. If you're going to track something good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good.
Can you imagine the staff it would require at Apple? Oh, there's a little report on there.
Oh, they don't need a staff.
Again.
They just need a database. That's what computers are for. Who needs a staff? Yep.
Okay. So you have this database with 1.5 million iPhone users stock tracking. Somebody's got to look at it if it's going to be, you know, there's like some guy named Ernie, at least in the back room, checks it once in a while. You got to have a staff.
Yeah. You got Ernie. All you need is Ernie, you know. So there is now another jailbreak, 1.12 jailbreak that includes activation. Liana, have you tried this yet?
I haven't tried this activation yet. I'm still trying to get my old phone back to 1.0.2.
So you're trying to reverse
everything
it.
Off. Yeah, I'm still trying to reverse back.
This is from the iPhone Touch dev team. They're working hard, I tell you. Conceited
sure
software is providing
like,
the download.
Show you.
Pardon me?
This
it
really does.
Sound, yeah. There's nothing to talk about. I might as well just fold up our tent and go home. Firefox 3.0 beta now downloadable. Anybody care?
No.
Oh. I don't even like Firefox 2. I want 1.5 back again. You know, the whole new world is crappy. Vista sucks. Leopard sucks. Firefox 2 sucks. Is there anything good that's new? Look at the Kindle. What a piece of junk that is. Anybody excited about the Kindle?
Oh, yay. I'm glad you said that. I was feeling like I was going to Twitter yesterday. Am I the only one not ordering the Amazon Kindle?
I think you're every, the worst part is that I heard the word Kindle and I heard the description of it and I immediately went credit card in hand thinking, I should just get this and we'll figure out, you know, whether it really works or whatever. And I saw it and I was like,
it's ugly. This is Amazon's ebook reader, 3 years in the making, got the front cover of Newsweek and 7 pages inside, big article by Stephen Levy. It's the second coming. I don't think they did this. I don't think they gave as much coverage to the iPhone, frankly. I don't know what they must be in bed with Amazon.
Well, lots of people are. And I mean, Mr. Scoble, our friend, wrote a post on his you know, his own blog, I guess, saying, hey, cool, they're paying me to put my blog in this Kittle thing. It's thanks, Amazon, for all the extra revenue.
So he is going to get paid, because that was the other thing I didn't like. You can read blogs on it, but premium blogs are $2 a month to Amazon.
He gets 30%, so it's in his interest to talk about it.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
And that's why so many bloggers are blogging about it, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting.
Now,
DRM'd.
Yeah. Newspapers are all getting something, too.
Yeah, everybody gets an issue, but I mean, it's like $2,000 to fill the thing up.
This is a product designed around a business model, not designed around what consumers want. That's pretty clear. It's the same screen as the Sony e-reader, which has not been a big success. I actually have a Sony e-reader, and I like it, and I use it. But it's not any better screen.
You know how many of those readers have been sold?
How many?
I've heard estimates from analysts as few as 2,000 or 3,000.
Yeah, I believe it. Nobody wants this. It's a product.
In the world.
It's a product. Yeah, I'm the one of the few people who wants it. And I don't even want the Kindle. I actually, it's like I have the Sony ebook reader. Why does it have a keyboard on it?
Well, that was the big thing I looked at. I was like, well, I don't want any kind of, and maybe it's just because of the iPhone now or whatever, but I don't want any interface. I mean, I don't want any like buttons. I mean, I just want to be able to click on stuff and get to where I need to go. I don't want to, at worst, I want a screen keyboard, but at most, I just want it to be smaller. That's a huge area of wasted space as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, who wants to carry around a keyboard when Steve Gibson made this point, when you're going to use it once in a while, sure, but not all the time. The Sony ebook reader is nice and small. I have almost 100 books on there. It's not easy to read. It's not as easy as a book. It's much more expensive. I've already lost one in an airplane, but I like the convenience of having all the books on there. But I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if it's only a few thousand. I don't know why Amazon's getting so much attention for this Kindle.
It's right behind the Segway. It's, you know, yeah. The Segway was going to be the new revolutionary transportation device.
What they didn't realize is you look like a dork on a Segway.
But now if you can read your Kindle while writing a Segway,
double dork.
That's the ticket.
Okay.
That's a chick magnet right there.
Yeah, you see a cute guy coming down the street. He's got a helmet on. He's standing on a Segway, so he's like 8 feet tall, and he's got a Kindle. Mad love?
Leander, does that just get you crazy?
Yeah, I think we just turn around and go the other direction. I don't think that one will grab me so much.
As fast as you
because
can.
Because he's probably got a Zune on his hip as well.
Yep.
Did I say that?
Run away! Run away! Oh, dear. You see the big posting guy brought his PowerBook in and had a dead pixel. PowerBook to the Mac store. They said, it's going to take us a couple of days to fix this. Here. We're going to give you a MacBook Pro loaner.
And they never saw him again.
Would you go back?
No.
The guy has a 17-inch PowerBook, 1.67 gigahertz PowerPC, a gig of memory, 100 gig hard drive. They gave him a 2.4 gigahertz Core 2, 2 gigs of RAM, 160 gig hard drive. I think that's good business if you can get it. If you get the guy back, because I guess they got his credit card number. But because he's going to try that MacBook Pro and he's not going to want the PowerBook.
That's like taking your Packard in for a tune-up and getting a Corvette loaner.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, Apple Store. I might break my PowerBook.
And what's up with these guys and their pixel peeping? I mean, you know, I get these guys email me all the time. My iPhone has a dead pixel. If you run this program on Thursday while standing on your left foot 403 times, you'll one of those times see this one dead pixel.
Well, that's annoying, though. Once you see a dead pixel, it can be annoying. Depends where it is, of course.
But if you have to run software to find it, I'm sorry, that doesn't qualify.
Did you see this story from Plane Buzz? Did you talk about this on the Apple Phone Show?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
What is the story?
Okay.
Then I'll know.
So, a guy is, they're on an airplane. Here, I'll read it to you. This is from Plane Buzz, which is a flight blog. One of our subscribers sent me this story today. We all knew it was inevitable when the latest iPhone commercial rolled out now, didn't we? Oh, joy, I can't wait for the next ground delay or long taxi due to weather somewhere to get some smart ass with a freaking iPhone shoving it in my face saying it's not raining there. See, too late. It already happened to me. We push back. I guess this is a pilot writing. We push back, get advised of a ground stop at MEM due to storms in the area. Got to wait. My captain, oh, he must have been a co-pilot. Captain does the lecture over the PA. Not 1 minute later, a flight attendant pushes the button. Boom. Captain, some guy with an iPhone says the weather's good. Wants to know what the real reason is for the delay. Is something wrong with the plane? I want to tell this clown what he can do with his iPhone, but the captain does it even better. He gets on the PA and makes the following announcement.
If the passenger with the iPhone would be kind enough to use it to check the weather at our alternate, calculate our fuel burn due to being rerouted around the storms, call the dispatcher to arrange our release, and then make a phone call to the nearest air traffic control center to arrange our timely departure amongst the other aircraft carrying passengers with iPhones, then we'll be more happy than happy to depart. Please ring your call button to advise the flight attendant and your fellow passengers when you deem it ready and responsible for this multi-million dollar aircraft and its passengers to safely leave.
That's awesome.
But my weather widget says it's okay.
You didn't tell that one on the Apple phone show.
No one ever pointed that story out.
That's a good story.
Yeah. You scooped the Apple phone show with iPhone info.
I've been trying for the last 6 months. I finally did. So I've got a prediction. I think a new iPhone at Macworld.
Ooh. Wow.
With what?
Nothing. Just another. Just to be. It'll be bigger. It'll be square. I don't know.
In pink.
No, they'll do something. They'll do a cheaper iPhone. Maybe less functionality.
Maybe.
They got. I think
announcement of one, but not one shipping.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right. Because they still have to do that FCC approval thing. So they can't ship one in January. But what other consumer announcement are they going to make?
The tablet or the mini
tablet.
They'll never do a tablet.
The mini PowerBook then.
I think it's an ebook reader.
You gotta wonder why
what
Apple
they should announce. Yeah. A camera.
That's what you want them to do.
That's what I want them to do. Make us a real camera. Because they made a digital camera before. A lot of people don't know that.
But for how much? What's the price point?
$200.
Ooh. That doesn't seem like Apple's market.
Well,
I mean, because you get into the $200 camera, maybe. But I mean, the issue is that, for me, the best consumer camera, right now is probably the G9, the Canon G9.
That's a good camera.
$499.
Okay, so they make a $300 or $400 one. I'm just saying $200. If I say $300 or $400, I get email from people saying I have too much money. So
Scott believes that that Apple's deciding just to cherry pick the good categories and kind of own them.
Why not? I mean, we've seen the move. Look, when they dropped computer from their name, we got a little worried. We see they're still doing well in computers, but let's face it, they're not a computer company anymore.
What about a TV? Remember the rumors a couple of years ago they were going to do an Apple TV?
We got that. It didn't work so well.
No. Actual television. Like take a cinema display and make a TV out of it. That'd be an interesting product. Don't you think there are a lot of Apple fanboys that would buy a plasma or an LCD TV just because it had that little Apple logo at the bottom? I probably am one of them.
I would buy one.
Yeah. I do have to admit, I just set up my, last night, I just finished my little living room project, which was, my wife that we've already talked about is about to have a baby. And so I've been like trying to make sure she has things to do, without having to go a lot of places. And so we've been getting lots of movies onto the Mac. We bought a Mac Mini and we put a bunch of movies onto it, and we've digitized every CD that we own. And I hooked it to, I got one of those cheap HD monitor, it's like 36 inches, 37 inches or whatever, but it's, Vizio or whatever. It's the inexpensive, but fairly reasonable, HD monitor, and hooked that directly. I didn't realize until yesterday that it has a PC input. So hooked the Mac Mini into it. And I have to say, we have a Bluetooth keyboard, which I didn't really like at first.
Lie in bed with your keyboard.
I'm sitting on the couch. No, I'm just sitting on the couch, and I have a Bluetooth Mighty Mouse that I'm sitting there on I just set it on the couch. The couch is kind of like the suede, and I just set it on the couch and I can just browse around. And I was like, I can't even believe I didn't do this like 2 years ago, because you're sitting there with your TV, and then as soon as you get tired, I want to watch something. I just click on, I hit my little controller for the little front row controller, and boom, I'm in the movies or into stuff or whatever. Or I hit menu and I'm back out again.
Congratulations, Alex! You've just invented web TV.
Well, the thing is that it's not. I'm surprised I don't see that much people, that many people talking about it. And it
you know
was
who
just
does that is a Darren Kitchen from Hack 5. He's got the whole kind of wired up thing. I think some real geeks have done that, but it's a lot of work.
It wasn't about a year ago. That's the thing that surprised me. I thought it was going to be really hard, but all it was hooking the Mac Mini up to an LCD monitor.
Chris,
I
mean, you said you did this a year ago?
What?
Yeah, we did a year ago for Macworld. We wanted to, you know, see that as an alternative because we were talking about Apple TV. And a lot of people were saying, well, yeah, but I've got this Mini, and how do I turn that into a media center? And at that time, you put enough of the right parts together, an IR blaster being one of the most difficult to configure. And it really does turn out to be a pretty serviceable thing. And now with Leopard, the new front row interface is great. It looks just like Apple TV. So it becomes a very real possibility now, particularly since they've made the IR blasters easier to use.
What's the IR blaster?
Well, if you want to use ITV, so you want your DVR capability, you can't change channels if you're using satellite or encrypted cable. So with an IR blaster, it plugs into the USB port, and it will fire signals based on schedules you've created. So then it really does start working like a TiVo.
Right. Yeah, we don't have we're now thinking about getting cable now that we don't even have that yet. So we just mostly just watch movies. And so So it hasn't really affected us that much. But that's the one piece. But for us, there was nothing else to do other than, once you just plug the Mini straight in. I've been putting stuff on it for the last, week. And I was just amazed. I was expecting it to be harder or something to do this. And, it was nothing.
What resolution are you running at?
Well, I run it at the high, it's designed for 1280 by 720. This is like one of the cheaper, HD monitors. It can go a little higher, but it looks a little beat up. And so I run it normally at 1280 by 720, but when I'm surfing, I'm across the room. So if I want to check CNN or if I want to, surf around, I just drop it to 800 by 600. And then I just surf around at 800 by 600. That way I can kind of comfortably without straining my eyes, read everything across the room.
You have invented web TV. That's exactly that's web TV.
No, and it's amazing though. I sit there and I just go and I check my email and I do my thing. But it's just a Mac. It's it's just sitting there. I have my Mac and then I just switch back to it and boom, I'm watching TV again. It was just amazing.
I'm afraid that Apple TV is going to get killed any minute.
Well, I don't. I have an Apple TV. We have one at the office, and I was going to take it up and test it.
You don't need it now.
I'm thinking I had to use some kind of interface between the Apple TV and the Mac Mini. I would never want to do that. I'm much happier with just having the Mac Mini directly hooked up to my monitor.
I guess I could use the Mini instead of an Apple TV.
Yeah, you just hook it. You literally, this monitor has a art. VGA in. So I just do DVI to converter to VGA in, and boom, it's there. There's nothing to it. And, it's just, it's a great, great interface.
Very interesting.
Just got a chat from, our friend at Across the Pond. And, he mentioned he's listening to the live stream, Leo, and he pointed out that the 640 by 480 resolution of the iPhone is the exact same resolution of the famed Apple QuickTake.
Ah, so you already have a QuickTake camera. It's an iPhone. Who is our friend across the pond? Will Harris?
Isn't that Sasha?
Oh, Sasha. Oh, okay. I have many friends across the pond.
That's his Skype handle.
Oh, okay. he's gonna have to limit it down to some people. Hey, here's a story that you will really like, Mr. Alex Lindsay. The very first feature-length film direct to iTunes release is tonight.
Right, the Ed Burns movie. I purchased that this morning.
Really?
Yes. No. I actually liked it because I like his distribution model. I'm like, I'll go for it.
Is this Purple Violets? This is something different.
It is. No, it's Purple Violets.
Oh, it is Purple Violets. So Ed Burns made this.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. Deborah Messing's in it, who is an actual TV star. So this is like a major motion picture. $12.99? And how do you like it? Does it look good?
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, so.
Well, let's watch it right now. We can just all watch it together. It's here we go. Wild Ocean Films.
People, they want to take
this
a
is the trailer.
Out of the Big Apple.
Oh, I like him.
Big Apple.
This is Patty. It's Deborah Messing with straight hair.
It's time for Mr. Callahan to go back to writing pulp and put.
This looks like a real movie with like a real trailer and everything. Wow.
Crazy, isn't it?
So, what do you think, Alex? I mean, is this a breakthrough?
It is. I mean, we're gonna definitely look at this as the first of of, I think, something that we're probably going to see a lot more of. You know, I mean, the artists are starting to figure out, or at least producers, some producers are figuring out they don't need to go through the typical distribution. It depends on how much draw you can get on the internet. I think some things will work quickly in the early days, much faster than other things. So if you have a big name, that people are willing to go see, let's say you have a $2 million budget. That means if you can get at $12.99, I mean, you get 50,000 people to go up and take a look at it. Well, not 50,000, but let's say 100,000 or 200,000 people to come up and take a look at it. You know, you're starting to get pretty close to breaking even with just a direct download. You just got to make sure you have the kind of audience online that's going to actually go get that. Now, if it continues to pick up, I mean, in my opinion, the studio's worst nightmare, which is that you know, they're not needed, you know, for this in this process.
Well, it does look like a studio flick. I mean, this is not
right. You know, it may look like a studio flick, and I'm not sure. I don't know what the history of it is right now.
Do you know, Liana? Is it an independent production or?
Yeah, he produced it independently. If I remember correctly, because I remember seeing him actually at an Apple store, and he was talking about using Final Cut to cut everything as well.
Wow, he did the Brothers McMullen, and he's done a few things. And he's been an actor. But he's also a director and a writer. He wrote and directed this as well as.
He was in Saving Private Ryan. That was probably
Private Ryan. That's right. Yeah. But he was an actor in that. Wow, that's very interesting.
By the way, so I apologize to Shosh, Shash, not Sasha.
Oh, Shosh is our
is the show
notes writer.
Yeah. Well, that was who it was. I keep calling Sasha when I don't.
Shosh. Well, I have a bunch of teenagers working for me, and they all have similar names. It's Shuby, Shosh, and Sasha. It's very confusing after a while.
Is there a particular reason they all begin with S? Is
this just a conspiracy coincidence? Theory? I don't understand.
Is this information being sent from your iPhone?
It's very odd, isn't it? What's my IMEI? Do you know that? Riddle me that.
Sasha.
So how many people have installed the opaque leopard menu bar? Show of hands. Y'all happy about that?
That's getting me one step closer to installing Leopard itself, but I haven't actually. We put it on one machine here at the office. So far, I don't hear any. Let me look into my control room and wave at engineer Greg. Greg, do we have any problems with our one Leopard installation? He's coming in to tell me.
The guy who wrote Butler did a program called Menu Bar Tint. No problems?
No problems so far.
Chris Breen, were you one of the people complaining about the transparent menu bar?
Oh, I carped about it a little bit, but not. I'm pretty
Andy,
careful.
Andy
about
Andy hated it. I remember Andy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a silly idea that you can't turn that thing off.
Doesn't bug me.
Having to do this, but I just was careful about the background I chose, and I have no problem with it.
I have a variety of kind of natural, you know, scenes backgrounds, and that some of them work better than others. But I can always read the menu bar. Now we still haven't figured out how to turn off the transparency in the menus itself. Menus themselves.
No, that still remains to be done. But yeah. The fact that somebody finally dug this out is heartening, indicating that somebody can probably get to the menus too.
It's there somewhere, some setting somewhere.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, you have to keep the program running, which means it's kind of constantly changing it back. That always bugs me when I see that. I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, I'm always afraid of. I got into a zone for a while of starting to really edit some of the stuff. So we had an Apple script that would remove the dock, you know, because I really hate the
Yes,
dock.
Yes.
And but it started creating all kinds of stability
breaks
issues
everything.
With the apps.
Yes.
And made me kind of scared. So then I stopped doing all of it. You know, I just kind of I'll leave it the way
hacksies.
Apple wants it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I do want to do is play. I haven't started playing with the dock yet because I have Leopard running on the machine at home. And which I love, and I haven't started playing with the color or the different designs. I really love all the designs that are coming out for the dock. I thought the dock was kind of silly at first, but I really enjoy looking at all these designs. People have gotten incredibly creative with all the different ways that you can, you know, lay out the dock now. I'll play with it for a couple of weeks and then I'll probably get bored. But
did you see this video of Phil Schiller?
That's great.
Should I play that? So he's being interviewed by Channel 4 about the iPhone. Is that the one you're thinking of, Chris?
The one where he's sort of looking off and silently saying, help.
The PR people come to his rescue, yeah. He's being interviewed here. Let me turn it up so you can hear what he's saying.
Use them. You have to really use iTunes to get the best out of an iPod. What? Can we finish this question, please?
Oh, here comes the PR lady.
Sorry, I already answered it.
You can hear the clicking of heels. Oh, she stands in front of the camera. She's actually getting in front of the camera.
Today's about iPhone.
Yeah, but the iPhone.
No, it's not. You're focusing on a different agenda.
Oh my goodness, have you ever had that happen to you, Chris? Where you're interviewing somebody from Apple and the PR people say, "No, you may not ask that question."
No, but I have heard that spin before.
I'd be highly offended by that.
Focus on this, and we're so excited about this. But in this case, they were dealing with the British press, you know, who were accustomed to actually having their questions answered. And poor Phil, and you can't, you know, I urge people to take a look at this, because there's Phil looking, you know, very comfortable. And then this guy is asking this question about perhaps there's a monopolistic relationship here.
Yeah.
And poor Phil just kind of looks like, you know, somebody stepped on his foot. And then he looks over to the side, hoping that the PR people step in. And indeed they did. And they started their little spiel to stop.
I hope they aired this. At least it's on YouTube.
I do have to say, knowing Apple, that'll be the last time that it'll be a year or two before whoever was doing that interview.
Well, it's Channel 4, though. I mean, that's a pretty big,
they won't get
as Shasha Shubi will tell you.
I think Apple tends to shut people down pretty quickly if they go off the reservation.
Well, then more of us should go off the reservation. I mean, this is ridiculous. The PR guy gets right up to the camera, so hoping that they'll stop shooting, but they didn't.
Those Apple folks would be prime candidates to be the White House press corps.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, the White House press spokespeople.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. I guess there are just some things one can't ask, Mr. Schiller. That's why I've never done an interview with Bill Gates.
When they ask those questions of Jobs, Leo, he just shuts them right down himself.
Yeah, he's adept enough. See, that was the problem. Phil couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
Jobs is adept enough just to answer a different question as a politician would.
Well, I think I've heard that Steve will say the same thing. He says, you know, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about this. This is why we have this particular event.
Right, exactly. And just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, although Phil just looked
Phil
very
couldn't handle it. The reason I've turned down a couple of interviews with Bill Gates because you, at least in the past, you had to submit questions, and I just don't do that. And of course, they won't let you do the interview if you have any tough questions. So all you get is softball question, and that's too bad. But I guess it's up to Apple. They don't have to let their honchos talk to the press. They want all the good press, though.
Yeah,
just none of the bad press.
Well, they get good press too. I mean, I think that if they needed press, they'd be much more open to it. But they get as much press as they, I think, most of the time as they need. You know, so they're kind of the in the rules of supply and demand. I mean, I look at it, if I'm talking to someone, you know, in a public arena with Apple, you know, I'll ask pretty basic questions. If I want to make commentary later, I will. But I know that that's not going to be the
be
the point in time that I'm going to do it.
That's why you don't hear PR people or executives on any of my shows, because they never tell you anything important. It's always, you know, hype and flack.
That's their job.
It's their job. And they have a fiduciary responsibility as a public company. They're not going to say anything or they're not going to keep their job long if they do, if that's bad, deleterious to the company's reputation. So
it is to some degree. I mean, I know we develop products, and I'll get up there and I have to admit, when I'm doing stuff, I'll tell people, I don't like this part of the product yet.
Right.
You know, we're kind of working on it, and I'm still unhappy with, you know, whatever.
You're not typical.
But you're also not a public
company.
No, yeah, not currently.
Yeah, where do you have stockholders? Then you won't be saying that stuff.
Well, I mean, and I think that it's a, I guess the thing, though, that I think is that definitely generates a certain relationship with your customers. That, you know, it's not that you're saying it's not a great product. You're saying that these are still things you're working out.
Right. I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think more and more customers are going to demand honesty from companies. And journalists should do the same. But traditionally, these guys have. I mean, remember Computer Chronicles? When we started doing TV, Stuart, I respect him, and he certainly was a pioneer in this. But he would always have the executives on. And when I started doing computer TV, I said, this is what we do not want to do. We don't want to have some guy come on with this essentially commercial for their product. And so we've always had journalists come on and talk about products, not the company that makes the product.
I will say, in Stuart's defense, I actually was on Computer Chronicles when I launched NetRadio.
And I bet you said only good things about NetRadio.
Well, I did, but the point is that Stuart, you know, he was very skeptical.
Oh, I mean,
the interview was extraordinarily skeptical. And same, he had me back on when I launched First TV. Same thing, extraordinarily skeptical. I basically had to prove my case on the show.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, he did have, you know, and in my case, I didn't use a PR person. I was the CEO. I went right to the mic. But nevertheless, he wouldn't let me get away with anything. So
that's good. Maybe I'm just not good enough to challenge these guys to this successfully.
You're good enough. You're just too nice.
People are pretty well groomed nowadays. That's why it's kind of strange to see Schiller lose it like that. They're usually so well groomed that they handle any, you know, they just can deflect any question.
Well, the only reason that I think that may have been a surprise for him was if they told them they were going to ask one thing and then they came in and asked a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
And
I guess if you agreed to ask a series of questions, well, I don't know. That's an interesting ethical conundrum. Is that how you get the interview?
I'd be very surprised if Schiller was going to give a video interview without knowing what the content of the interview was going to be.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So that what you're probably looking at is a curve. You know, they whether you think that they should or not, I'm fairly certain they probably threw him gave him questions that were not agreed to. You know, they wanted to get him in front of a camera and then do it. You know, it's good for them. I mean, but it's Apple's playing rough and so are they. You know, so what we're just seeing is both sides, you know, playing the game to the full extent.
That's a good point. Any other stories anybody wants to talk about before we, somebody put this in our, MacBreak Weekly ideas. By the way, if you have something you'd like us to cover on the show, and especially in these dim, dark days before Christmas when there is no news, please bookmark those stories on Delicious and tag them with MBW ideas, and that way we'll see them. And I do want to thank Define the Line, who sent us a link to the top 15 hidden leopard hints from appletel.com. And if you haven't seen these guys, these are good hints. I know, Chris Breen, you know all of these, but
yeah, that was good stuff, though. I mean, we're used to seeing the same kind of stuff time and time again, but they, you know, about half of them I was well familiar with, but there were a couple in there.
I didn't know you could press C, for instance, when you're in spaces and you press F8 to see all the windows. If you press C, it collects them all into the first window.
Yeah, that's cool. And also the idea of you can take a window and bump it into another space just by dragging it over and leaving it there for a second.
That's a nice thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I needed some help with spaces. I like spaces, but I've had trouble with stuff kind of disappearing into other spaces.
Yeah. There's more stuff in spaces than is apparent. So it was nice to see a couple of those hints in there.
Is there a book you can, Apple doesn't, I'm sure somewhere Apple documented this. And is it in the help file?
Oh, about the spaces stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you dig through the help file, there's some of that stuff on there. But
I guess that's what you have to do is just read all these help file stuff.
Yeah, and if it's not on the onboard one, then they've updated it online, and so you can search for it there.
Yeah, I don't see. I'm looking at the spaces help, and I don't see that C key thing here. To switch between spaces, pressing the control key. Yeah, see, it's all the stuff everybody knows. Control
right.
1, 2, 3, and that stuff. To add an application, click the add. Yeah, see, they don't have the C thing. That's the one I like. They hid that away. Anyway, appletel.com. We'll put a link in the shash. Shash will put a link in the show notes. Shash, I want to paste that into the chat room right now so you can get that one. We're ready for our picks. Did you bring a pick today, Liana Lahua?
I did bring a pick.
Ladies first, then.
Well, thank you. I am trying to help a couple of my friends who have recently switched to Macs Yay to learn how to maintain their Macs. And one of the things that it's easier for me to show them than to explain to them a lot of different things, especially about the hard drive and how to maintain their files. So there's a disk utility called Disk Inventory X, and it's a free application for the Mac, and it visually shows, it has a GUI interface that shows you which files are taking up how much space on your hard drive. So you can go through and delete things as you need to, and you can delete the blocks of the visual blocks that you see, or you can go to your Finder and delete the individual files. And it's been really helpful in my explaining to my friends what they need to be looking for as they start on their Mac journey. So we've really liked this one.
Yes.
Haven't tried it with Leopard. I'm actually going to start playing with Leopard this week. Now I feel bad that I haven't played with it at all.
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work. I mean, that's such a useful program. I really love that.
Yes.
And it's free.
Yes, it's free. Zero Alex's.
Disk Inventory, or it's Disk Inventory X, right?
Correct. Yeah. The website's derlien.com, derlien.com.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. Mr. Scott Bourne, do you have a pick for us today, my friend?
I do. I actually have 1.5 picks.
Oh, my.
Because the half pick isn't really a pick, but I have to brag. I have a giant box containing the entire special edition of Rock Band sitting right next to me here in the control booth.
What is it?
Rock
Band?
What's Rock Band?
I'll be right there.
What's Rock Band? What are you talking about?
It's like Guitar Hero, only it's got drums, a guitar, a microphone.
Oh.
It's like the hottest thing going. And I got it. They just started opening up the lines today to sell them, and we sent our special force
program
pick one up. No, that's why it's only a half pick. So here's my real pick.
What's it run on? Just wait a minute. What's it run on?
It's an Xbox 360.
Oh, okay.
I'm just bragging.
So if you I'll be over this afternoon to play the drums.
Yeah. Hey, we can actually do a band together, Leo. We should do the Mac
cool.
Rate Weekly band.
Do you have to have 4 controllers?
No, you can have as many guitar controllers, I think, as you have USB ports for them, but you have a mic and you have a drum controller as well.
Oh, that's pretty
So you actually have a singer, which we're really trying to carefully screen. But the drummer is, you know.
Come on, Liana sounds like she can sing.
Actually, well, we've got 5 people now, so each of you can play the 4 instruments, because there are only 4, and you can fight it out amongst yourselves who wants to sing. But I'll be the obligatory cage dancer. We'll do that.
Oh, wow.
How's that?
I'll be right over. No, you can sing. You can sing, Liana. I can tell you can sing.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
I'm good at karaoke.
Tiny bubbles. Come on, try it.
In the wine. Tiny bubbles. Yeah, I don't know all the words. I'm sorry.
What kind of Hawaiian are you?
Anyway, the real pick is actually not Mac specific, but people who use iPhones and iPods might be interested in it. It's a pair of headphones, and it's a pair of noise-canceling headphones that I happen to think are equal to and maybe in some cases slightly better than the famed Bose noise-canceling headphones. These are the Creative Arvana X-Fi headphones.
Creative and Arvana X-Fi?
X-Fi, X-Fi.
Oh, this Creative headphones. Has that X-Fi.
And these these are noise-canceling. They're about the same price as the Bose, about $330, $320, less than half an Alex. And they have the one thing they have going for them is they have very good aural response in the higher range, and you can actually set up different formats for them because they have some special little processing that's right on the side of the headphone that you can push. And since my Bose headphones were donated to a worthy cause recently, I picked these up, and I have to say that I'm very impressed with them upon testing them this morning. So I decided to make them my pick. And you can use them with the iPhone if you get the iPhone adapter.
Oh, the Shure. That's the one. That was another pick at another time.
Well, yeah, you can use the Shure. You can use the standard Belkin headphone adapter. Any of those adapters that will let you get a standard headphone into the iPhone. So they work on the iPhone. They work on the iPods. And they're really quite astoundingly good. Bose is sort of dominated that market for a long time, but the creatives are definitely worth a listen.
I have 2 programs for you. One is $10 and one is apparently free. And these are programs, we kind of talked about these, to help you make your Leopard look less leonine. I actually don't use them. I'm very happy with the Leopard dock and the Leopard menu bar, but if you're tired of the dock, you might want to take a look at Dock Changer from Whimsically Plucky Software. DJ McIntosh he's actually the guy who wrote it, sent me the link to this. And Dock Changer allows you to put leopard spots on your dock or wood or change that little highway stripe to all sorts of different kinds of looks. 90 different backgrounds and themes. You can actually try it free. In fact, you can customize your dock for free, I think 10 times. I can't remember a certain number of times. And then $10 if you want to buy it. It's called Dock Changer. Change your dock back to something more legible. In fact, who was it was telling me that his mom couldn't read the dots at all, that indicate which the active application is. This would solve that. You could change those dots too. Whimsically Plucky is whimsplucky.com, whimsplucky.com. And then from Mac Park, Leo Paik. Actually, Stefan Klein and Mac Park are the developers. And Leo Paik, of course, enables the opacity in your menu bar. And that's absolutely free, Leo Paik 2.01. Both of these will be on the show notes. So I'm going to get Sash the links so that you can download those. Those are your two programs from me, a total two programs for 1/70th of an Alex. There you go. And now it's time for Mr. Chris Breen.
Yes, I've got 1 1/4 picks because my quarter pick is a book.
Okay. This is good. We're getting a lot of for our pick dollar today.
Yes, we certainly are. Fantagraphics is releasing the Crazy Cat Sunday strips.
Really?
And they are. And they've started back at 1925.
Wow.
They haven't gone all the way back to the teens because another company had been doing that. But all that stuff's out of print now. And those of you who are not familiar with Crazy Cat, it is one of the most surrealistic comic strips ever created. And the only reason it survived is because Hearst loved it. And readers universally hated it.
Oh, is that
so
true?
Bizarre.
Oh, but I love it now. I mean, it's loved now.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. So they're reprinting a bunch of this stuff. And there was a 600-page hardcover $75 version of the 1925 through 1934 limited edition, 1,000 copies, sold out. Sorry, but you can get the collections that run for 2 years through Fantagraphics, and absolutely worth doing. The color collections are wonderful. The recreation of the color is great, and even the black and white strips are worth having.
That's the one where the mouse is always throwing a brick at the cat.
Always, yeah, and the cat was sometimes male, sometimes female, and then there's Office of Pup, the sheriff who's a dog, and he loves the cat. Oh, it's just wonderful. and that's my quarter pick, so worth looking at.
And that's Fantagraphics, is Fanta, one word, Fantagraphics.com.
Fantagraphics.com. They're also the company that's reprinting all the Peanut strips, so if you want that stuff.
They do a lot. I'm looking at their site. They do a lot of classic old stuff.
Yeah,
Robert,
and they're redoing
stuff.
Pogo, too, from beginning to end.
So. See, I'd love a complete Pogo.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Wow.
All right, and back to the Mac stuff. I'm surprised nobody has mentioned this in the picks before, so I'm going to, and that's Herrsoft's Amadeus Pro, which $40 audio editor. Largely, you work in two tracks, but it supports multiple tracks. Does batch processing. If you're looking to open and edit odd kind of audio files such as Ogg Vorbis, it will do that. It will do FLAC files that other programs won't touch. It's a nice audio editor. You know, works very much the same way as traditionals do, that you're using waveform editing. It will also do analysis. It will take out noise. It will repair clicks and pops. And there are other applications that do this, but they cost a lot more. This, again, is $40 and absolutely worth looking at.
Wow, that's great. I use it all the time. I can't believe we've never mentioned it.
Yeah, I went to the Pix site and it was not listed. And I said, somebody's got to mention this now.
No, it's amazing. It you know, with programs like Audacity and Apple's own Soundtrack Pro crashing left and right, the stability of Amadeus, they just did the Leopard update, is fantastic.
Yeah, and a very nice interface, too. The previous version, Amadeus 2, was a very capable program, but the interface was kind of ugly. It looked like OS 9, but they've updated that as well. So it's a very pretty looking program. And it really is one of the most versatile sound applications I've used for under $50.
I use it on the road to do all, when I'm recording commercials under my quilt in my hotel room, that's what I'm using. I have to record commercials when I'm in Vancouver, and that's how I do it.
Under your quilt.
Well,
I do it. Do it too. I always think when I'm sitting there, we're doing some kind of voiceover or something that I have to put together for here. I think, you know, I've spent a lot of money on my office, and here I am sitting under a comforter.
It gets sweaty under there. You can't stay too long.
You can't really do a whole show. You can only really do a commercial.
No, only one commercial at a time. By the way, good news. Andy Inako has just Twittered that his mom is out of surgery. It went very well. So,
Good.
Glad to hear that, and our best wishes to Andy and his mom, because we miss him. Before we wrap up, I think a good time to take a break and tell you about Audible.com. And yes, I see you, Alex. I know we have a pick for you still to come. Audible.com is our sponsor. They have been for some time, really great supporters of MacBreak Weekly. And that makes sense because Audible goes so well with your iPod, your iPhone, your Macintosh. It's audiobooks, 45,000 plus titles, some of the best titles out there. Great stuff that you can listen to and enjoy. I put them all on my iPhone, but they go, you know, as I said, on any device, almost any device, they have a list of devices supported. Also, you can burn them to CD. You can listen to them anywhere, pretty much. You can listen to a CD. If you want to get a free book from Audible, just go to audible.com/MacBreak. audible.com/MacBreak. When you sign up, you get a credit toward a free book. And even if you decide not to stick around, you can absolutely keep that free book. It's yours to keep, as they say. audible.com/MacBreak. This week, we'll do a quick pick. Actually, a section on Audible that's new on the front page that I love. Books that changed the world. I listen to Audible because I learn. You know, for me, it's the time I spend commuting or working out or walking, or, you know, it's not time wasted. It's because of Audible. I'm learning all the time. And they have a series called Books That Changed the World. It's a collection of 7 very important books. The Bible, a biography about it. These are books about books. Thomas Paine's Rights of Man. Christopher Hitchens writing about that one. Hugh Strawn writing about Clausewitz on War. Janet Brown writing about Darwin's Origin of Species. A really interesting series. Books about famous books. Wealth of Nations, the Koran, Plato's Republic. And I think this is an example of where you can really just take that time that you're stuck in the car, nothing to do. Of course, you want to listen to MacBreak Weekly. But then, when that's done, what do you do? These are some great books. Books That Changed the World, a series from Audible. Could be one of your free books. Half price sale continues through November 27th. So 1,000 unabridged titles at a half price, too. Audible.com/MacBreak. We do thank them so much for their support of MacBreak Weekly. Well, I think this has been a great show, given that Alex Lindsay. Yeah. Alex Lindsay.
I had so many picks today.
Go ahead. I forgot you.
And I have, not to be competitive or anything, but I have 3 picks, and they all came out this week. And you just have to say them all, because otherwise I'll forget about it, okay, you know? And so, I'll do it really quickly. The first one, just to build on Liana, is if you're doing the disk inventory, the other one that we use heavily in the office is Disk Tracker. Do you guys use Disk Tracker?
Is it the same? Is it do the color blobs or?
Well, what it does is we don't back up to tape. You know, we go through about anywhere from 1 to 10 terabytes a week. And so we have lots of drives floating around. And if you have a lot of drives that are floating around, whether it's that or just lots of little things, what this lets you do is basically you have Disk Tracker and you just put a drive in and it just tracks the whole drive, you know, grabs everything and keeps it in the database. And then you just put the next drive in and you do the same thing and the next drive in and do the same thing. And now we have a database that I can figure out where did I put that file, and I search it because, you know, we have over 200 drives that have, you know, little labels on them. And then they've all been disk tracked. And so there's this one database that I can figure out where a certain file is go get this drive. It's in this directory. For some of us who go through a lot of space, I know not most people go through this much space, but a lot of us have 5 or 6 drives around, or we have, some portable drives and some drives that we're backing up. This is a great way, especially if the drives aren't online all the time, if you don't have them always plugged in and you're trying to figure out which drive has what, it's a $30 application. And it is, for us, it's gold, you know, so we really like it. Anyway, I was just thinking about it with, when Liana was talking about what she was talking about. The other two things real quickly, and I'll go over them fast. One on the geeky end is, Red has released the new what's called Red Code, Red Alert, and Red City, which lets you open Red files directly. This is the new high-end camera that they're putting out. And it's really a company. You should go to red.com just to look at a company that's doing a lot of things the right way. You know, the amount of support that they provide for people and everything else is really amazing. A lot of this is Mac only. So like Red Alert and Red City are actually Intel Mac only. They're really front end things, but these the files, I think there's some sample files up there that you can now download and open. And if there isn't, we're going to post some soon from some of the Red stuff that we've been shooting. And this is as close to digital film. I mean, Steven Soderbergh is shooting his new films about Che on Reds, and you really just want to see this. This is like a real revolution from the film side. And finally, the last thing, just because it was released this week and I started playing with it, and I'm kind of channeling Merlin on this one. Have you guys seen Omni Group's new OmniFocus?
Bought it.
You bought it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great app. I've actually been alpha test.
Half price right now, $30.
I watched the video and then I was like, okay, I'm done. You know, like
I have some concerns. It's a little overcomplicated. I mean, a GTD application should be simple.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's, I find that all the Omni tools from my
perspective. They're so good. And Merlin helped them with this a lot.
It looked like it was designed by Merlin.
Yeah, no, he was there. He kept going up to Omni Group and working with them on it.
Yeah, it looked like it was really, this looked like it was channeling Merlin.
Yeah.
So if you're, the biggest problem with a lot of the getting things done type style is that there was never really a great infrastructure to support it. You know, I mean, something that really supports all the techniques and the processes and everything else. And that's something that really, it's hard to keep up with the tasks and, how you're supposed to do it. Because there's nothing that really builds the shelves the way that you want to have them built.
Right.
And this is just a really, a fantastic first version, to do this. And right now, the reason it's important to say sooner than later is because it's 50% off now before January 8th. I guess
that's when it comes out. Yeah, it comes out right in time for Macworld.
But it just came out over the last week. And
Alpha. So how long have you been using it, Liana?
I've been using Ashley now for maybe 2.5-3 months.
A long time. So I'm sure you felt the same way when you first looked at it. This is complex. But you've adjusted to that.
I did. I actually came from Microsoft Outlook from a Windows machine and was prior to that using a Franklin Covey system. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am. I've taken the class and everything. I'm very familiar.
Yeah. And so I was used to that. So it didn't take me too long to adjust because I was already using the GTD things with the context and everything. So it wasn't too bad. It looked a little bit more simple for the things that I wanted to do. And then when I realized, started playing with it a little bit, it was actually a really great interface for all the things that I want to do. But it doesn't force you to use anything you don't want to use.
Right. And it syncs up, which is nice. I mean, it handles the Apple Mail to-dos and it syncs with your iCal.
That's what I like. There's been a lot of these that I've seen that have been... then you don't get to use iCal, and I really wanted to have it be something that will integrate with iCal, not be something that's running in parallel because that kind of cripples my whole system. So,
yeah, no, I mean, I bought it because I didn't want to pay the $70 that's going to be in January. And I know I'll get it then anyway, because I'm a fanatic for these things. There's a new version of IGTD in progress too, which is the program I have been using. And IGTD 2 will probably not be free. And that will have a lot of new features. But I think you're right. I think OmniFocus right now is the GTD app.
And we're testing this, Leo, but OmniFocus will sync to iPhone via Leopard Mail.
Ah.
And iCal. And we've been getting reports of that for about a week. So I am going to test that on our one Leopard machine. And I think that's a precursor to an app you're going to see from Apple next year. But I think that that's something to note here with regard to that problem.
Yeah, we thought they'd have to-do lists when Leopard came out, and they still haven't done that.
Yeah, well, I think you'll see that's maybe
Macworld, yeah. One neat thing that you can do with OmniFocus is you can email yourself to-dos if you mail it to yourself with a keyword in the address, such as plus OmniFocus.
I thought you said we could email ourselves, in which case I was...
That would be nice.
I was going to go to Hawaii. Excuse me, I'm going to email myself.
You can only email your tasks to Hawaii. The rest of you has to stay here. Although that's not as bad. Not so bad, really. Not so bad. Yeah, I'll be curious. You're right. I mean, I agree with you. This is absolutely a pick, Alex. I always get worried when it's so complicated. You know, what it reminds me a lot of is Kinkless, which was based on Omni Outliner Pro. And I think that's what happened is the Omni folks said, wait a minute. You know, here's this great application based on Omni Outliner Pro. Let's make something that's purpose built for that.
And I think sometimes it comes once again to training. Like I looked at, I first opened it and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't.
It's a lot.
This is a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah. And then I actually sat and watched the little 15-minute video.
Great video.
Great video. And then it became much clearer of how I was going to use this. It just, but if you just open it up, it's too much. Which is unlike a lot of the other Omni. The Omni Group stuff is just so good in general. But the, you know, like with Omni Graffle, I just kind of opened it and started whacking through it. And every once in a while realized, oh, I could really do this. And I really wished I'd watched the training.
Yeah, I think I bought every one of their programs. They really should have a deal where you just get everything with one lump sum. I bought them one by one. There is, by the way, besides the half off, if you do own Omni Outliner Pro, as I do, which is another great program, you get an additional 25% off. So this is that's I mean, this is really the time to buy it if you think you're going to use it.
And in general, I mean, that's the thing about Omni Group in general is that you get great applications. They're well priced and they're always doing something that makes it, you know, makes you feel like you're part of it.
Yeah.
So it's check it out.
Glad we didn't forget you. Whoops.
Oh, God. Okay.
Hey, everybody. That's it for Mac Break Weekly. We thank you so much for joining us. Liana Lahua, thank you for being here. She's one of the Girls Gone Geek at girlsgonegeek.tv.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to be here.
We're all going to be at Macworld, by the way, which is going to be a lot of fun. Can we talk about that yet, Alex?
We can. We can.
Tell us.
Well, we're going to, it looks like we're doing the podcast. We're going to be doing the podcast studio at Macworld and really, you know, it's in the back of the West Hall. So this is the first time I think Macworld has had, actual, booths in the West Hall. So the West Hall is above the ground and it's, you know, it's closer to our office, which I like. And, but we're going to have a theater in the back. I think it has something like 300 or 400 seats. And so we're going to be in the back running podcast studio. This is going to be a mixture of, you know, a bunch of the podcasts that we already do. And as well as, I mean, it'll be Mac Break, you know, weekly, at least once, probably twice. And then a lot of the other stuff, including
we're
gonna Twit
there on Friday. I'm sure you'll be doing Girls Gone Geek there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so we'll have a ton of these great.
Callie Lewis is going to join us, which will be great.
Yes. Yeah, Callie Lewis is going to be there. I think we've got, I know Justine's going to be out covering stuff. We're going to have a lot of people there talking about stuff. Craig Severson, I don't know if you've ever seen Craig's presentations, but the end of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have Craig doing one of his, you know, each night, each afternoon, we have him talking about, you know, general techniques around compression or... he's like the keynote master, you know, and so it really makes it clear. And then we're going to be running training all the way through. So most of the mornings we're going to be doing, except for the very first, the Tuesday morning, there's going to be tons of training in audio, in video, in, you know, and it'll be little 20-minute talks about really what you need to know about, you know, compression or recording or, you know, all these other things. So it's going to be really a seminar on it. I mean, a lot of what we talked about at Gear Media Tech and other things, I mean, a lot of that kind of content really distilled down over those 3 or 4 days of talking about how to make your podcast, as well as showing some really, really great podcasts. And we're still working on a couple of the podcasts that we think are going to come through that'll be also really exciting. And it's really going to be an event to definitely check out. It's worth coming. I think we're working really hard on it right now. So I think that it's worth coming to Macworld just for that and for what Poddango's doing as well. So Scott, can you talk about that yet?
Yeah, we have the podcasting symposium, which is part of the faculty conference track. And if you're signed up for any of the conference sessions, that gets you into that. So that is something you have to pay for, but it's like, you know, you pay to get into all those sessions. So it's not like you have to pay just to see ours. And you know, we're counting on Leo and Alex and Craig and everybody to stop in at our deal too. And we're going to do some cross promotion between the two places. And our sessions will be strictly educational. And then we'll all be going out to the, you know, to the floor with you, Alex, to do the actual shows.
Right. So, and so there'll be education on both ends. There'll be shows and it's going to be, I mean, especially for podcasting, it's going to be an incredibly dense, Macworld.
It'll be the most coverage that Macworld's ever given to our industry.
That's great.
I think I think it might be some of the deepest coverage that anybody's done.
Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah, so if you're planning to go to Macworld, make sure you look for us. We'll be there in the West Hall and, we'll be there.
And we should have the schedule up in the next 2 weeks.
Good. I'll make sure
online so people can take a look at it, plan stuff out, and so on and so forth.
Alex Lindsay is with the Pixel Core, of course, pixelcore.com, a great group of people who help you learn about all of these technologies, these media technologies, and then get work in the field, which is even better. Pixelcore.com, pixelcore.tv for their podcasts. Scott Morin is with the Apple Phone Show and a bunch of other stuff at Poddango. AppleFoneShow.com. Anything else I should mention, Scott?
I think we've covered it, and I appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, always love
having iLife Zone is still going, and Liana is in charge of that now, by the way.
Congratulations, Liana.
She's doing screencasting.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's really neat.
It's how-to screencasting.
Chris Breen is a regular, was on iLife Zone, and of course on the Apple Phone Show, and he is a regular here, and he is the Mac Daddy, Mr. Mac 911 for Macworld Magazine.
Right.
And he's right now with his mommy.
I am enjoying this. And she makes my breakfast.
Oh, man. I want my mommy to make me breakfast.
Well, come over, Chris?
Come on down. She'll make breakfast for you, too.
I'll be with my mommy after for Christmas, so that's good.
All right.
That's really... I'm with Jennifer's mommy this week for Thanksgiving, so it all works out. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we all have very many things to be thankful for, but especially for our wonderful listeners. We thank you so much for all the love and support you've given us. This is our 66th episode, so it's been a year and a half that we've been doing this show, and we just love doing it. Thanks also to John Hoffman. We didn't give him credit, of Kalamazoo, Michigan. He's the guy who did Merlin's Mannerisms, that book with a page a day with Merlin's quotes at the top. I haven't been able to talk to Merlin. What I'd like to do, he sent us the PDF. I guess he's selling it on Lulu, but I'd like to give it away. I'm going to make sure I can get permission from Merlin and from John, but I would love just to offer that PDF to anybody who wants to print out their own copy. So we'll let you know when that's if and when that becomes possible. That might be our Christmas gift to all our MacBreak Weekly listeners. Thanks to John Hoffman for putting that together. Have I covered everybody? Yes, I have. I guess there's nothing left to say, but another MacBreak is broke. Have a great Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.